I'm Clayton Collins, CEO at Housing Wire, and we are at The Gathering in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I am joined by Pat Dodd, the CEO of CoreLogic. Pat, thanks for joining us.
It's terrific to be here. Congratulations on the sold-out show.
Oh, man, this event, there's a buzz, there's an energy. And
my first time at one of your events, it is amazing.
Let's make it an annual tradition.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You're just coming off stage in an awesome session with Sarah Wheeler, and I'm excited to unpack some of the topics you talked about on stage and go a little bit deeper on CoreLogic, you, your leadership style. I think there's a lot to talk about.
Sure. No, happy to.
So, Pat, you're coming up on 2 years in the CEO seat at CoreLogic, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So give us a little glimpse into your background and how that's influenced the direction you are taking your organization at CoreLogic.
Yeah. No, thank you very much. I've been in the data analytics technology space for almost 30 years in a different industry. But always spent a lot of time in media, marketing, retail, packaged goods around those areas. And a lot of that experience over the time is really, it's a nice mix with CoreLogic because it was always information and technology. It's always B2B helping businesses who have somewhat analog processes and think about how to digitize every piece of their work. And there's a lot of opportunity for companies that way. So when I got a call from CoreLogic, you can imagine I was quite excited when I did my homework about them in terms of their essential workflow tools, the amazing data sets that they've amassed over many years, a lot through acquisitions. And I felt like a bit of a kid in a candy store, to be honest, when I joined. I'm a Canadian, but I've had the pleasure of working and living and having fun in three continents. And now I'm based in the Orange County area.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on the role. I know it's not new, coming on 2 years now.
Yeah.
But you mentioned you were excited when the opportunity presented itself.
Yeah.
But as you stepped into the CEO role, you got to know the organization. Where did you direct your energy on where you wanted to or where you felt you needed to make an impact early?
Yeah. I think first off, I think a few of us joined this industry at a really interesting time, given what was happening here right now. So if you take yourself back to Q1 of 2021, who would have thought? I wish a few people would have given me a crystal ball on what was going to happen with, you know, affordable housing, interest rates jumping from 3% to 7% for a mortgage, home price values appreciating over 40%, so really tough on affordability. And then obviously, we deal with a lot of sectors of the housing economy, be it the mortgage area, servicers, real estate, quite large, insurance, contractors, appraisers. And if you just think of that right now, there was a lot to learn and navigate. But I do believe that I spent a lot of time doing a lot of employee listening because we have 5,000 really sharp people. The one thing I've appreciated in the industry is how much industry expertise is required, particularly when you're helping another professional do their jobs. And then two, you know, just really thinking about clients and meeting as many people as I could to get under the covers of what's going well at CoreLogic and where do we need to pick up the pace on a few things.
Talking about joining the industry at an interesting time, and you're coming from an information services background, so you'll relate with this. At Housing Wire, we talk a lot about in times of change, in times of uncertainty, professionals need news, information, data more than ever. And while a lot of our end market clients in real estate mortgage and home building insurance have gone through tough times, they're looking for information and data to help them make decisions and solve problems and build more efficient businesses. So, but also at the same time where they have less resources and they like financial like challenges. So how have you found in that those listening tours and client interactions about clients' appetite for adopting new data solutions or looking for information to inform decisions? Like, has that come up as like an increased need in a time of change?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things when you look at that one. It was interesting, even with the employee base and clients, and I think all companies of scale or size deal with this.
Yeah.
I found that there was a lot of silos built over many years. And breaking down silos was a big part of the leadership journey, externally and internally, because there was a lot of interesting capabilities that a lot of our client base either weren't aware of or weren't taking advantage of. And you would like to think that they think of CoreLogic as a bit of a whole as opposed to lots of different pieces of it. But that was also needed internally as well, as we start to organize our teams around being very deep on a particular industry and work that. But so what I found during the listening tour is it's easy to brush over the surface of what's happening in mortgage, but all those professionals all have different jobs within it. And you have to go quite deep. Different clients are at different situations or competitive situations. So you could come up with averages on these things, but really getting down to it, it's the same in the real estate ecosystem and it's the same in the insurance. So really understanding where the clients are and where they are in their technology journey was quite important. And then how do you think about how do we just help them each step of the way? It's a little bit, I'm a big believer in this progress over perfection, because people are looking for sometimes a bazooka to kill an ant. And I'm a big believer that technology and data used smartly with industry professionals can unlock three things. I think companies are looking for taking time, touch, and cost out of what I call the routine, the mundane, and the repeatable. Number two is honestly growth. And there's many ways to look at lead generation. And probably the most often one is also just client experience. How do you use technology and data just to provide a terrific customer experience to, you know, their consumer? So we tend to think about those three things when we go in and talk to clients about how do we take what CoreLogic has and bump it up against. We want to fall in love with our clients' problems. Fall in love with their problems.
And if you solve a problem, you're going to be like, there will be rewards for that.
And
that's key.
That could be for a servicer who's just trying to, you know, get their call center moving. That could be an originator that it does still take too much time to take the touch time and cost out. For real estate, you can imagine what's happening in that area about all the things from making sure that they can even just take care of their customers from listing right through to transaction. We're working on all those things.
So you mentioned silos and the challenge of breaking down those communication barriers and product silos as you enter the organization. I've had the pleasure of visiting the CoreLogic Discovery Center, which, at least from my point of view, feels like a productification of a lot of the different data capabilities and unique industry insights that CoreLogic has. Tell us more about the Discovery Center and the product strategy for breaking down silos.
Yeah. So what did you think of the Discovery Center?
First of all, it's phenomenal. And I love the example of zooming in on a neighborhood in Brooklyn and looking at flood and catastrophic risk profiles of different homes and streets in Brooklyn. And one block off the water, there's an X risk, and two blocks off, that cuts in half, and three blocks off, that cuts by 10. And that's just a phenomenal level of data and property transparency that I have not seen in any other application.
Yeah. So we're very proud of the efforts.
And John Rogers in a kilt is something that—
Did you get him in the kilt?
Of course. All right, John, in a kilt.
You got the white glove treatment from John. Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I think the journey on building the Discovery Center, anyone that's built data and tech, these things just don't happen overnight.
Yeah.
So even before I arrived at CoreLogic, there was a lot of hardworking people seeing that we could really build a truth set for our own people in terms of better operations, building products off it, but also for our clients. So pre-COVID, there was a lot of people working behind the scenes, taking our 22,000 separate data sources that we collect, and we have huge data supply chains for each of them, and connecting them all in one platform. And really being able to take all those different data sets and bring it down to an individual parcel or property across the U.S. Don't underestimate the work that goes into that, including being 100% cloud enabled now, because that's important for analytics. So as we built the stack, making sure that it was 100% cloud enabled, because to do machine learning, you really do need to have that scale when you're talking about that amount of data coming in.
So you're not just building for the data infrastructure, data needs in the past. You're building toward this machine learning and AI future. And you need the engineering platform and backbone to be there to support where you're going.
Yeah. So when you're building, the old terms would have been data lakes. If you don't build an analytical layer into some of these platforms to help data scientists, to help engineers do great work. So it's really important to have that analytical layer so you can do it at scale. But basically, what we're trying to build here, And what we've built is a truth set on property. And in this uncertain world, the word truth is a very important one right now. And to really get to it, you have to make sure it's unbiased, it's clean. We get all of our data, primary source that we pull in, and this can be reconstruction cost in every home, parcel footprints, tax rolls, anywhere we can get our hand on anything about a property, that will go into the Discovery Center. And then what that allows people to do is explore. And we're building analytics off these capabilities now, so we can serve our clients with our tools, because we have a lot of software tools, but even being able to fork some of our information into their own software, so it complements their data strategies. That's quite important to meet the clients where they are.
One of the things that I have loved to geek out in the CoreLogic data on, and I've talked to a few mortgage professionals who have seen the same thing, is not just the property data, but the professionals that are associated with the transactions on those properties. So being able to see who the LO was, what realtor there was a relationship with, and like click into those professionals and start to understand their production volume and the production volume of their brokerage or lending institution. How are real estate brokerages and mortgage lenders starting to activate this information for their own decision making?
Yeah. And I would say real estate brokers as well.
Yeah.
So as you look at that information, it's a really unique opportunity. Much like you bring property professionals together.
Yeah.
I'm a huge believer that technology can bring property professionals together and open up this information with a lot of transparency. So if you think about just the local nature of real estate, again, you and I have talked about this. The national numbers are always interesting. The local ones are fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And when you could start bringing all those professionals locally to be communicating with the same language, using the precise data, so they're all talking the same language, it speeds up decision making. It speeds up knowledge. So what we're seeing right now is a lot of people are just connecting around various home buyers, how many listings are in the market, getting to know each other through the software. It's really interesting stuff.
We just had one of your CoreLogic team members join us for a demo day, a virtual demo day at HousingWire.
Okay.
And the comments and interactions when he previewed the capability to see like agents and like their referrals and who they work with, the different transactions, that was like, it went nuts. Everyone got super interested around that point. So I can see real estate and mortgage professionals starting to open their eyes to, how do I know who to interact with in my community? And my referral partner from 3, 4, 5 years ago, pre-COVID, might not be the referral partner who's most valuable as we look toward the next few years in the housing industry.
Yeah. So like, if you stretch it a little further, and you start thinking about the 5 million property professionals in this country right now, the title professionals, the mortgage insurance professionals, the insurance professionals, there's an ecosystem of connecting people at the most local level with a truth set, so they can just speed up decision making and get to work and take care of homeowners.
When our industry talks about speeding up decision making, I think that conversation usually goes two routes. Like one, like operational efficiency, and the other route, which has been really popping on stage at the gathering, has been AI, machine learning, and not only how do you aggregate and access the right data, but how do you enable technology tools to start anticipating outcomes or anticipating interactions. Can you give us a glimpse into your AI strategy and what you're building toward at CoreLogic?
Yeah. First off, it's property professional first.
Okay.
And trying to solve very useful, practical needs as opposed to moonshots. So
not just AI for the sake of AI.
No, we are putting all of our marbles against building the truth set, so we have that at the center, but we are taking very precise measures to say, how do we meet with each of them and try to fall in love with their problems? And even if you help them with one piece of their workflow, I'm going to give you one example. This is not using generative AI yet, but if you just think of the last few years, 70% of appraisers are using CoreLogic's workflow software every day to do their jobs. Having all their forms pre-filled with all the tools that we have to make their jobs more efficient, so they're not doing the routine, the mundane, having it pre-filled, all the contractors of insurance. And we're using a lot of AI models through that to make sure that they have a powerful tool in there. That was always there.
Yep.
So we're taking our premium content and putting it through all of our rails to make their jobs a little bit easier. That's just two examples of working with contractors in the insurance space, working with appraisers. So they just, they can get rid of the mundane, take care of more customers, visit more houses if they have to, and work through it. So those are just two examples through it. I think the interesting thing with generative AI right now, because we've been using, like a lot of companies have been for many years, in terms of the production of data, when you have this kind of scale. But the opportunities are somewhat endless now in terms of really helping a real estate agent get a listing done just a little bit quicker, when you start thinking of the large language models that we can tune into our proprietary truth set, so it can get there. So even if it shaves off 3 hours, that's okay.
Well, I think you're tapping into a really important industry trend. So as the real estate industry navigates this commission lawsuit and settlement, there's a lot of viewpoints that the most productive agents, the agents who are already dominating on the listing side and might start to wrap their arms around being really productive with buyer representation, those really productive agents might start aggregating a higher amount of volume to themselves, and like the best hit better. And for the best to get better, they have to get more efficient and have to have like tools to move faster.
Yeah.
And
I've learned a lot the last couple of days listening to the various speakers here, and I heard the word education used a lot. And really, that's what information services is. It's a transfer of knowledge.
Yep.
You're doing it, we're doing it different ways, but it is really about, but there's a big difference between what I call being informed, having knowledge, and then having intelligence. And as you move up that curve, what data and analytics can do right now, because knowledge is fantastic, but it's usually based on a lot of models that are based on past behavior. It's not predictive at all. When you start moving to intelligence, that's usually been the property professional's job. Once you get all the knowledge built up with repository data, that is such an opportunity for property professionals to be working with data and put it into the way that they compete and serve their customers better. Because, you know, with intelligence, you guide, you advise, and you predict.
Yep.
And that's the opportunity ahead now in very practical terms that I believe that these professionals matched with a truth set that is not biased and making sure you can make an informed decision. It's a huge opportunity.
Yeah. I think of intelligence as the ability to activate data and like data for data's sake. Yeah, cool, whatever. But if you know how to activate it and you know how to build.
And for scenarios that have never even happened before.
Yeah.
So knowledge is usually based on a lot of models built on historical, but when you can start looking around corners with information, you might be able to identify someone looking for a home before they even know.
Yeah, so give us an example of how a property professional, or let's even say a real estate agent, might activate knowledge they gain from CoreLogic to be more effective in their market.
Yeah. I'm actually going to turn it to our insurance vertical for now as one example, because this is also something that's occurred since I've joined the industry. If you think about the damages to homes, it's going to be north of $400 billion in the last 4 years.
Okay.
Half of it is insured, half of it is not, because luckily the government is helping out with all the perils out there. You've seen some of the work we do. A happy Earth Day, by the way.
Today, happy Earth Day.
Today is Earth Day. It's a very important day for CoreLogic, because we do take this seriously, because the 85 million homeowners that are out there. So we're just not looking at new homeowners. We're looking at the 85 million homes that are out there today. We're doing a lot of work with predictive analytics around weather and how to think about climate risk differently. So I'm going to come back to some of the more practical for some of the other areas around lead generation and others, but I got the compute that's required to be able to really look at, you know, predicting where storm surges are going to happen and helping lenders, insurance companies get people into their homes faster. That is our mission, right? And we're using a lot of data and analytics to honestly really be very precise based on flood layers, storm layers, it's all about how do you get people taken care of and back in their homes as quick. It's beyond the big numbers that I've talked about. These are human beings that are being hit, and data technology can. There's just too many people on the road, to be honest, and this can really provide surgical operations for so many people. So I don't know if that makes sense to you.
It does, and there's not a mortgage lender or a real estate professional out there who doesn't understand the importance of insurance right now. If you are on any coast, whether it's the Gulf or the Atlantic or the Pacific, like you are contending.
No, the variable cost, variable cost of home ownership is something we're watching. Very, you know, affordability is a huge issue for us right now. But when you look at increase in taxes, you know, that's increases in insurance that we're seeing in the double digit rate. It's something that we're keeping our eye on. But I would say one other area that we're really looking at this intelligence area is around lead generation, actually.
Okay.
And I'm a huge believer. You have to remember, I come from a media and marketing background and using data for the last 30 years to help people look around corners for growth. But this is an area that we're using our location science. We're using the property data. We're using consumer signals to really provide professionals with a look around the corner of who's really in the market.
Yeah.
And what is a qualified lead, and helping to help out on conversion rates. Because conversion rates, just so you know, when I look at this industry, they're very low to me, relatively speaking, versus the dollars put into it. And even if you can improve that curve 2 or 3 points, you're going to be a much more efficient. So enriching leads using our CoreLogic content is something that we are spending quite a bit of time on. I'm going to tell you right now, right where we're sitting right now, this morning, I tapped into our smart data platform, phoned a couple of my analysts, and I said, tell me about the JW Marriott. And I know right now, through CoreLogic, there's 250 properties for sale, but I also know there's 110 very unique people that have visited more than 4 open houses in the last 6 weeks. And so how do you bring supply and demand together when you can take analytics? So hopefully that gives you an example of bringing... You have to match demand and supply and get there in an efficient way.
I might be tapping into a proprietary question here, but what is the signal on to open house attendance? How are you aggregating that? Like, what is that? Is that like digital footprint or? Like
a lot of it comes down to our geospatial information, which is very, very accurate. I won't tell you what long and lat we're sitting at, but I know at this point, because we have to understand all the flood layers and everything in the company. But we use consumer signals from lots of different sources to be able to put that all proprietary because it has to be opt-in.
Yeah.
It has to be opt-in. You've probably heard about the cookie apocalypse that's happening with Google and targeting.
I went to a media conference a few weeks ago, and it's all anybody can talk about.
Yeah. And so we are using all opt-in panels to be able to get various consumer signals to enrich our data set because we are really deep on the property, but with a few consumer signals matched in with it, it's amazing how you can make your lead generation more efficient.
Yeah. And like with all the pressures on the industry, low inventory, high rates, uncertainty in commission models, everyone is searching for an edge. And that edge usually comes in how do we generate better leads with higher conversion rates and retain more margin for the lender or the real estate professional or the insurance company, whoever it is. So like feels like you are building at a very important like point in the industry cycle right now, despite the fact that you joined the industry 2 years ago and in a challenging time.
Yeah, I am a believer that you do need some scale here. So we use a lot of partners as well. And I would encourage anyone, you don't have to be the size of CoreLogic or twice the size of CoreLogic to get into this game, because we use a lot of partners. I talk about our great 5,000 employees, but we have an equivalent amount of partners that we work with. Some in the ecosystem, and then some are just, you know, Google's been a great partner to us as we think about how to think about a truth set and make it very usable. So it's the scale, but it really is those little use cases that is the key, taking out the pain points from professionals to get there. And then I believe a flywheel will happen, and our employees are quite excited about it.
That's amazing. Pat, thank you for joining us at the gathering. Thanks for joining us on stage and here for this podcast. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Terrific conference. Well, outstanding. Learned a lot.
Thank you, sir. Let's make it an annual tradition. Okay. I'll see you here next year.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.